Good morning. Garrison Keeler tells a story about the town baseball team in Lake Wobegon, the Lake Wobegon Schroeders. They're named that because the starting nine on the baseball team were all brothers, all sons of E.J. Schroeder. He says, E.J. was ticked off if a boy hit a bad pitch. He'd spit and curse and rail at him. And if a son hit a home run, E.J. would say, blind man could have hit that one. Your grandma could have put the wood on that one. If a guy couldn't hit that one out, there'd be something wrong with him, I'd say. Wind practically took that one out of here. Didn't even need to hit it much. And he'd lean over and spit. So his sons could never please him. And if they did, he forgot about it. Once against Freeport, his oldest boy, Edwin Jim Jr., turned and ran to the center field fence for a long, long, long fly ball. He threw his glove 40 feet in the air to snag the ball and caught the ball and glove. When he turned toward the dugout to see if his dad had seen it, E.J. was on his feet clapping. But when he saw the boy look to him, he immediately pretended he was swatting mosquitoes. The batter was called out, the third out. Jim ran back to the bench and stood by his dad. E.J. sat, chewing in silence, and finally said, I saw a man in Superior, Wisconsin do that a long time ago, but he did it at night, and the ball was hit a lot harder. There's something inside of all of us that just longs for approval. We long for somebody to say, way to go, you did a good job, you're valuable, you're good, I love you. And yet, we don't always get that, do we? What's worse is that some of us feel like God is like E.J. Schroeder. Never quite satisfied with us. Never really approves of us. We're in the fourth and final message in the series Alter Ego, based on the book Alter Ego. We talked about how an altar is a place where people sacrifice something or lay something down before God. And your ego is who you think you are, what you believe about yourself. And unfortunately, a lot of us have an inaccurate view of ourselves. We either think too highly of ourselves or too low of ourselves. We don't really know who we're supposed to be. And so in this message series, we want to sacrifice or lay down at the altar our ego, who we think we are, and become who God says we are. If you missed the last 3 weeks, I'm going to quickly review what we covered. You may also want to go to our website. A lot of people don't know that all of these messages are on our website. You can download them in an MP3 or listen to them online. In fact, you can listen to the last 6 years if you really want to get ambitious. So let's review. The first week, by faith, we decided to lay down our feelings of inadequacy. And we saw that, first, God's view of us is different than our view. He sees more in us than we see. Second, God has already given us more than we think or realize. And then third, it's less about us than we think. It's more about God's strength and power in us. The second week, we talked about laying down our need for control, because some of us like to control. And we looked at three questions to ask when you're getting stressed out by a situation or a person that you really can't control. So we ask, first, is it worth my concern? Second, is it mine to control? Because there are some areas where we do need to take responsibility. And third, we ask, is it for God alone to control? Last week, we talked about laying down our right to be offended, which means that because of God's grace given to me, I'm going to first give others the benefit of the doubt. Second, I'm going to not label others. And third, I'll forgive others just as I've been forgiven. Now, this week, today is our last message, we're going to talk about laying down our longing for approval. You see, we all long for and want to be approved by others. But often that desire, if it's out of balance, can actually ruin our lives and keep us from becoming who God says we are. So we want to lay down our longing for approval so we can be who God says we are. Is that okay with you guys? Do you like that? Do you approve of that? Do you still like me? Do you approve of me? Oh, I forgot. I have to lay that down. All right. The reality is, I will admit right up front that for as long as I can remember in my life, I've had this desire for approval, probably like most of you. My clearest memories as a kid are from when I really felt approved, like when I was a little league pitcher, and I wasn't that great a pitcher, but one game I pitched the whole game, I was the last batter because I hit in the winning run, and whoa, it was so great. I remember feeling, that's like one of my clearest memories from all of childhood because I felt so approved. I would have felt better about it if my dad was there to see it, but my dad was a workaholic, and so I don't remember him coming to any of my games, and didn't see him too much after I was about 12 because my parents got divorced and he went to another state, and then he died in my mid-20s, and so I never really felt very approved by my dad. And in fact, some of you feel like that. There's some of you that there was a person in your life that you really desired their approval, but you never really got it. And that can drive us to have an even deeper longing for approval. You know, back when I was first pastor, it was about 19 years ago, there was a guy named Chris Sheneman who came here, and some of you know him. But he eventually became an associate pastor, and we sent him out to pastor a new vineyard in Harrison, Ohio. But I remember like 17 years ago, I was still a new pastor, and I was still a little insecure about my teaching. And Chris Sheneman used to come up after every single Sunday service, and he would say, "Great job, Ken. You did a good job teaching." And then one Sunday, he made that comment, and I said, "Well, you always say that, Chris." And so he stopped, and he never said that again. And then I realized how much I appreciated it when he said that. You know, I really, it affirmed me when he said I was a good teacher, and all of a sudden I didn't have it anymore. And it was just an example of this huge desire for approval. Now, of course, that was 17 years ago when I was pretty insecure as a pastor. So I never deal with that desire for approval anymore, except like maybe every day of my life. But the truth is, we never lose that desire, do we? We never outgrow that, do we? It never just goes away because God put it in you. He put in you that desire for approval. But here's the key. He wants you to live for and desire His approval, not the approval of everybody else. That's the key. So as we start this morning, let me give you five signs that you may be living for other people's approval. And if you pull your outline out, I gave you sort of a checklist of these so you can, you know, check off if a particular one is a problem for you. The first one, you may be living for other people's approval if you worry too much about what other people think. So many of us are consumed by what other people think. Did you ever have to speak in public and you were really, really nervous about it? Why were you nervous about it? It's because you're worried about what other people are going to think. Have you ever posted something on Facebook, and then you come back like 2 minutes later, and you want to see if somebody liked it, or if they, you know, commented it on it? Do they approve? You know, do they approve of me? That's what we're really concerned with. When you're getting ready for that important event, what do you do when you go to your closet? Besides, you know, looking several hundred things and saying, "I have nothing to wear." But I'll tell you what you do in your closet. You get out two or three or four things, and you try them on, and you stand in front of the mirror, and you say, "Does this look good? Does this look good? Does this look good?" And it's because you're worried about what other people are going to think about how you look. At my house, I am the official shoe evaluator. So Kathy puts on two different shoes, and I get to choose which one I think looks best, and then she chooses the other one. No, I'm sort of joking about that, mostly. But, you know, we do all this because there's this thing in us that just really cares so much about what other people think. Do they like me? Do they approve of me? Are they impressed with me? And sometimes we're bothered by just the littlest things. You know, somebody will say, "Are you feeling okay?" You know, or "You look tired." And we immediately think, "Oh, is something wrong? Do I look bad? You know, what's going on? Is there a problem?" And we are so worried about what other people think. How many of you would say, "Yeah, sometimes I worry too much about what other people think"? Okay? Now look around at the people who don't have their hands raised. Those people are so worried about what people think, they won't even raise their hands. And that leads us to our second sign that we are living for other people's approval. We're overly sensitive. I probably just made some of you sensitive about that. Management books will tell you that you have to say 10 positive things about somebody to outweigh one criticism. And it's because we're so sensitive to what other people think about us. Have you ever done something good and you know, five people tell you, oh, that was great, that was good. One person criticizes it. And then what do you think about for the rest of the day? That one person who said something negative, and why would they say something negative? And you know, they outweigh all the rest because we're so worried about what people think. Or maybe you do something and nobody says anything. And then you start to say, oh, nobody liked it. They didn't say anything. And you know, I'm no good and I'm a failure. I didn't make any difference at all. Or maybe you get your hair cut and you get home and your ignorant, insensitive husband doesn't say anything about it. And then you're going, oh, he doesn't like it. You know, I must not look good. And you know, I am not saying this, by the way, just because this may or may not have happened at my house 100 times. Or maybe you leave a voicemail for somebody or send them a text or an email and they don't call you or text you back right away. And so you start to wonder, well, did I say something wrong? You know, are they mad at me? Are we not BFFs anymore? And you know, is there a misunderstanding? It's a sign you might be overly sensitive. A third sign that you may be living for the approval of others is you compromise your values. There's something that you believe deeply in, but you compromise your values for the approval of somebody else. Maybe you're a young woman and you love God and you want to honor God with your purity and you want to save yourself for your husband and give him a precious gift one day of your purity, but you're dating a guy and he says, well, I love you, baby, but I'd love you more if you do this. And so you compromise your values for the approval of others. Or you're a guy and you're hanging out with other guys and they start telling kind of crude jokes or using language that's inappropriate and you know that's not really honoring to God, but you want to fit in. You want to be one of the guys and be accepted by them and so you compromise your values. Or maybe you really believe that being out of debt is God honoring. You want to manage wisely what God has given to you, but you end up buying things you don't even need to impress people you don't even know with money you don't even have. And why do we do that? We compromise our values because you want people to like you based on what you have or how you look. So that if that's true of you, then you can just check the space in your outline. Yeah, I occasionally compromise my values for other people. A fourth sign that you may be living for the approval of others is you hesitate in sharing your faith. You really believe that Jesus is the Son of God. He transforms lives. He forgives us. He makes us new. And you've got a friend who doesn't know that, a friend who maybe is hurting, maybe is lost in their sin, and you want to share the good news about Jesus Christ and what he's done for you, but you don't want to be seen as a fanatic religious person and, you know, you don't want to share your faith because what might they think about you? And if you're honest, you'd have to admit that you care more about what other people think about you than you do about them and their future for eternity. So you don't share your faith because you're longing for approval from others. Or finally, number five, you may be longing for approval if you have a hard time saying no. Someone asks you, hey, can you do this for me? And inwardly you're shouting, no, I can't, I don't have time, I'm so busy, I'm overwhelmed already, I don't want to do it. But then you say, sure, I'll do it, when can I start? And outwardly you're agreeable, inwardly you're resentful. And then you start feeling guilty because you're resentful inside, but you have a hard time saying no because you want to please other people. Why do we do this? It's because our egos are insecure. our egos, our longing for approval. We're saying, please like me, please respect me, please affirm me, please make me feel good about myself. Now here's the problem. Here's the danger with people pleasing. And this is really like the whole message in a sentence. Becoming obsessed with what people think about you is the quickest way to forget what God thinks about you. Worrying about what people think about you is the quickest way to forget what God thinks about you. And in fact, Proverbs 29:25 says this, fearing people is a dangerous trap, but trusting the Lord means safety. Fearing people, what'll he think of me? What'll she think about me? What's their opinion of me? Will they like me? Fearing people is a dangerous trap. In fact, the Hebrew word translated as trap here is the word mokesh. It can mean two things. It can mean either a noose that you would put around an animal's neck to lead it, or it can mean a hook or a ring that you would put through the animal's nose to lead it around. And so what this verse is really saying is that if you live for other people's approval, this is what it kind of looks like. You got that hook through the nose, and do you like me? Do you like my new haircut? Do you like my car? Am I cool? I got an iPhone 5 with an unlimited data plan. Am I cool now? Am I hanging around with her? And it's like you're being led around by your nose. That's the image in the Hebrew. Fearing people proves to be what? A dangerous trap. But whoever trusts in the Lord is kept safe. What's the root problem here? Pleasing people is really nothing more than idolatry. It's really the sin of idolatry. It's putting the approval of people higher than the opinion of God. It's making people too big in our lives and God too small. And in fact, I would say this to you, that the desire to please people could be one of the greatest limiting factors in your life. Why? If you're a parent and you desire so much for your kids to like you, and that's your goal, I want my kids to like me, they might like you today, but they will not respect you tomorrow. Because your number one call is not to be their buddy, but to be the guiding force in their life. If you want to be a leader in your school and you're so consumed with what your friends think about you, you won't be able to lead them because you're following them. If you're a business leader, you have to make difficult decisions that some people might not understand, and you cannot be consumed with what other people think about you because you have to do the right thing, not the popular thing. If you want to be a follower of Jesus, you cannot be consumed with what other people think about you because you cannot simultaneously live for the approval of others and the approval of God. Can't do it. Becoming obsessed with what people think about you is the fastest way to forget what God thinks about you. So how do we overcome this disease to please? How do we overcome it? Well, let me give you a couple thoughts on this. First thing is very simple. Number one, we must focus on pleasing God instead of pleasing people. It's that simple. We want to live not for the crowd, but for an audience of one, our Lord God. Paul said it this way in Galatians 1:10. He said, obviously, I'm not trying to win the approval of whom? I'm not trying to win the approval of people, but of God. If pleasing people were my goal, I would not be Christ's servant. Do not miss that powerful statement. If pleasing people is my goal, I cannot be Christ's servant. Are you Christ's servant today? You cannot simultaneously live for the applause of the crowd and live for an audience of one. You have to choose at some point. Are you going to focus on pleasing God or on pleasing people? In fact, one of the most significant events in my life was when, for the first time, I made the decision to start focusing on pleasing God instead of pleasing other people. Some of you know that I went to the Naval Academy. At the Naval Academy, we were split into 36 companies, and you lived with the same guys for the whole 4 years. I was in second company, and my company happened to have a reputation as like the loose company or the party company at the Naval Academy. Some companies had reputations for being really military or professional or whatever. We were the party company. And as a matter of fact, we got the nickname Loose Deuce. Let's put the next picture up. This is from my high school or from my college yearbook at Naval Academy. This is the seniors in second company. This is our senior class picture. And a number of the guys in our company had this little thing they called the Garden Club. And it was because they'd go out every weekend and drink until they turn into vegetables. You know, and they thought that was funny, but this is all true here. And so for our senior class picture, what they decided, oh, it'd be fun if we all went and planted ourselves in the sand, so it's like a little garden here, you know, and there's beer bottles next to us, of course, and you can see, well, you can't really see the policeman in the back holding something that says Loose Deuce on it. So we were the party company, and you can see the arrow is pointing to me in case... You know I don't look quite like that anymore. But when I was a plebe or a freshman at the academy, I wanted so much to fit in that I went out drinking with some of these guys. Problem was, as a plebe, you weren't allowed to drink the whole year. And so we got in huge trouble. I ended up marching with a rifle on my shoulder for about 87 gazillion hours, and it was no fun. By the time I was a senior, I finally decided, you know what, I'm done with trying to please everybody else. I'm done with trying to fit in. And I actually started a second company Bible study. Now remember, this is the party company. And every week we met on Wednesday evenings in my room, and every Wednesday evening we'd have meal formation because we formed up and then we marched off to dinner together. And but there was a time for announcements, and so every Wednesday evening I would announce in front of the whole company, a second company Bible study is meeting tonight. And I knew very well that that was not well accepted by the company. I knew very well that I didn't fit in. It wasn't the popular thing to do, but I decided I didn't care that much what other people thought about me. I did care about what God thought. And the interesting thing is that a bunch of my classmates from Second Company actually became followers of Christ later on. Let's go to the next slide. All those people with red arrows, those are just the ones I know of, at some point committed their life to Jesus Christ. Now, it wasn't because of me, because only a few of them ever came to my Bible study, but it was funny, several reunions in a row, because I go to a reunion every 5 years, several reunions in a row, people came up to me and said, you know what, Ken, I accepted Christ. And they just remembered that I had spoken out about it before. And by the way, several of those guys are admirals now, so you might worry about your Navy. But I wish I could say that from that point on, I've always done a great job at not worrying about what other people think. But I'm just like everybody else here. I still am concerned with that. I still desire other people's approval. But I have learned one thing. Have you discovered that you cannot please all people? Have you discovered that? In fact, do you realize that it's impossible to even please all the people who are important to you? Impossible. You can try. You'll wear yourself out trying. I mean, you'll wear a certain outfit and one group will love it, another group will hate it. You'll listen to music and one group will love it and another will hate it. And you'll drive a car that some people love and another group can't stand. You'll do your hair in such a way that some people like it, others hate it. Even in your morals, you'll live in such a way that some people love it, some will hate it. Even the way you worship. You know, when we worship here this morning, some people love it, other people say, no, that stinks, you're doing it all wrong. You know, you cannot please all people. But somewhere along the way, I also learned something else that brought enormous freedom. I learned I cannot please everybody else, but I can please God. I can't please everybody else, but I can please God. That is so good. All of you ought to be shouting amen, and you know, I would feel much more approved if you did. You cannot please everybody else, but you can please God. You know, most of us think the opposite. We think that God is unpleasable. I can never please him, but, you know, I try to please everyone else. No, no, that's not true. In fact, you know, that's really so important. I think we need to say this one out loud. You can't please everybody else, but you can please God. Ready? Let's say that. You cannot please everybody else, but you can please God. If there's anything you remember from this morning, please remember that. Paul says, I am not trying to be a people pleaser. If I was trying to please people, then I cannot be Christ's servant. He's saying, I'm going to focus on living for an audience of one, for God alone, instead of trying to please everybody else. Because being obsessed with what people think is the quickest way to forget what God thinks about me. I can't please everyone else, but who can I please? I can please God. So how do we overcome this disease to please? The first way we looked at is focus on pleasing God instead of pleasing people. That leads to the second point. We're going to live from the approval of God instead of for the approval of people. And if you can get this deep down inside of you, it'll change your life. We're going to live from the approval of God. Not for the approval, from the approval of God. Because, see, if you're a follower of Christ, you have already been approved by God. It's not an uncertain thing. Whether you feel like it or not, you can live from the approval of God, not for the approval of other people. Paul said it this way in 1 Thessalonians, we speak as those approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel. We are not trying to please people, but God who tests our hearts. We are approved by God. He even approves of us so much he trusts you with his gospel, the good news of salvation, eternal life, of forgiveness of sins. He trusts us with that precious message. He approves of us. But if you care too much about what other people think, then you can't take that message to them. Because some people aren't going to like it. And if you worry about what they think, then God is not going to be able to use you. You're not truly living for him. And Paul goes on to say, we are not trying to please people, but God who tests our heart. The bottom line of this is, for those of you who are followers of Christ, because of what Christ did, you are the righteousness of God. You are perfect in his sight. When God looks at you, he doesn't see your sin. He sees your righteousness coming from Jesus because of what Jesus did for us. And because of that, my worth is not based on what other people think about me or even what I think about myself. My worth is based on what God thinks about me, what God says about me, what God sees in me because of what Christ did for me. And therefore, I don't have to worry about the approval of others. I don't have to try to please everybody. I can live from the approval of God, not for the approval of others. Author Craig Rochelle, who wrote the book Alter Ego, tells a story about one of his kids. He says, one of my kids, Anna, came home one day and said, Daddy, they're making fun of me. The girls are making fun of me. I said, what do they say? She said, well, they said I was stupid and I was a loser. I said, what did you say back to them? She said, I just laughed at them. You laughed? Yeah, I just laughed at them. And I told them, you don't know the truth. You don't know me like my daddy knows me. My daddy tells me that I'm incredibly special. My daddy said that when I was born, God called a meeting with the angels and said, angels, come in here and sit down. And God said to the angels, I'm about to show off. Watch this. And then God created me. That's what my daddy told me. Then Craig Rochelle says, the reason she told him that is because I've told her that over and over and over again. And so she wasn't bothered by what the other kids thought. You see, if you're living from the approval of your father, then you don't have to live for the approval of others. You can just laugh at them if they don't approve. And what does that mean to me? It means that it doesn't really matter if my earthly dad never approved of me, because my heavenly dad does. My worth is not based on what anybody else thinks, but on what my Father in heaven says about me. He says, I'm special. My worth is not based on what anybody else thinks. And if that's the case, then the big overriding question, the only question that matters, is what does my Father say about me? What does my Father say about me as a follower of Christ? And that could be a whole series of messages by itself. Instead, let's watch a short video that will sort of answer that question. It doesn't matter what you think about yourself. It doesn't matter what others think about you. It matters what God says. And God says about you, he says, you are called by God. He says, you are equipped by God. You are an overcomer. You're a conqueror. You're loved. You're righteous and you're holy, all because of what Jesus did for you. And when you realize that you're not living for the approval of others, that you're living from the approval of God, that changes everything. It doesn't matter what others think about me. It only matters what God says about me. Therefore, I will lay down on the altar all of my longing for approval. I will lay down what others say about me. I'll lay down everything else except what God says about me. I can't please everybody. But the good news is, I can please God. Let's stand for prayer. I'd like our worship band to come up. We're going to have to skip our ending song because of time constraints, but they'll do a hymn as we dismiss. So let's bow together in prayer. Heavenly Father, we ask that your Spirit would do a healing work right now in our souls. God, it's so easy for us to become people pleasers. God, would you help us to be people who live for you and you alone? And Father, I pray that we'd become aware of the times when we're being trapped and ensnared and sucked into living for the approval of others. God, would you forgive us for that idolatry? And I pray, God, that we'd be empowered with your truth, who you say we are, that we would grow out of the need for the approval of others because we already have your approval. And God, would you help us to live for you and you alone, bringing you glory, God, in everything that we do. We thank you in advance for the way that our lives are going to be different, God, because of what you've done through your Son Jesus in our lives. This morning, if you're not sure of your relationship with God, if you're not sure that you have that close relationship, that you're a member of his family right now, then you can do something about that. Just follow me as I pray right now. Just say, Heavenly Father, save me from my sins. My life isn't my own. I give it to you. Jesus, would you forgive me and would you save me? Holy Spirit, please fill me so that I have the power and strength to live for you. Thank you for your new life. I give you mine. In Jesus' name, amen.